Yeah. Chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys for tuning in. And welcome to the show. Make sure you bookmark UCY and the URL that you're on right now, because that's where you can catch us Monday through Friday, 7 days a week.
5 days.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Monday through Friday is 5 days a week.
Well, yeah.
You have me and DB on Monday and Wednesday, SM and Dedrick on Tuesday and Thursday, and then LaVon on Fridays. She wasn't able to do her show last week, but she'll be back this week. And we're really starting to mix it up, I think, you know. Yeah. And I was listening to their show last night, and they had a bunch of callers and people calling in from all kinds of places. And
they resonate with like a totally different kind of crowd than me and you, because obviously where we're from geographically, we grew up so differently. And I think it's interesting too, because like SM's always saying, you know, like Birmingham's where it all started. So there's always going to be that underlying kind of tension. And where me and you are, which is a port town, we're like the rare natives from here, and that's kind of like our thing. Oh, are you from here? No, you're just going to pass through. I'll see you leave in about 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking of that, you're leaving leaving here in a few days.
Yeah, in about a week. Going up to the Great White North and going to check that out and everything. So we'll see how it goes, you know? I know it's like a completely different environment up there and everything, but hey, We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. You know, you've been in San Diego forever, so why not go try out something else? I'm staying back. You know,
oh, yeah.
I'll be here if you come back.
You're a younger cat than me, dude. You know, when you get up into your 30s, you're already settled down, or you get that wanderlust, one thing or the other. So for me, I got that wanderlust going. You know, I got to try somewhere new, maybe two or three new places. Who knows?
Yeah, and you've been thinking about Brazil, or not Brazil, Peru as well.
Yeah.
And I know you've visited down there a few times. You and me both have a close friend that is from, has family down in Peru and stuff. So, I guess it's always good to keep your options open, too. You don't want to get stuck anywhere. Always make sure, you know, more or less have a way to escape or get out of somewhere. Especially nowadays with all this stuff that's going on, with all this unrest. I mean, we haven't seen unrest in the U.S. like this in a long time. The last big, you know, real protest movement that there was probably March Against Monsanto. And, you know, that was a bunch of moms and, and you know, I mean, definitely less radical people.
Right.
Less oppressed, if maybe we should say it that way. But what we're seeing right now is crazy. I mean, this is sustained protesting. I mean, last night in Berkeley, they had like 1,000 people still showing up.
Yep.
And it's going again tonight. I just saw some tweets before we came on the show. It's picking up again.
And it's accelerating into a slippery slope on both sides, because look at all this legislation being passed. It's being passed quickly, too. You got this insane budget deal being passed. They supposedly say it's a compromise and it's bipartisan. But when you look at some of the crap they rammed through at the end here, like blocking the voters' rights in D.C. for marijuana legalization, I mean, that to me it's a sham, because if you look into the bylaws in D.C., it's already legal as long as you're a lawmaker to use any kind of drug and solicit prostitution. You can look it up. It's its own city. It's like the city of London, and it's just like the Vatican City. Washington, D.C. is an enclave. So it's ludicrous that they're trying to do that. You know, it's basically a TPP on us. If you really look at it, when the Republican majority got in, we knew they were going to do some stuff. We thought they would do some cool stuff, like, I don't know, maybe reinstall some constitutional rights for us. But we realize now, and everybody that's intelligent already realizes this, two heads of the same snake. And now guess what? The right snake, the red snake, it's biting, and we can look at some of these details from this deal they passed. They're going to cut $300 million from housing assistance, $300 million from education grants to students of low income, and then they're going to take that $300 million they cut and give it to the loans creditors. So all these, you know, fly-by-night for-profit colleges are all about to get a big paycheck from the taxpayer when nobody asked for them to be here in the first place.
Yeah, and we're talking about $1.1 trillion spending bill. I mean, this is a huge amount of money. And I mean, there's been hardly any debate on this.
There's no debate. I mean,
and we did an article. Carrie Wedler did an article on the anti-media a day or two ago. I think we published it yesterday about this bill. And it's basically going to strip land from Native Americans and hand it over to these mining corporations.
Right. And NDAA 15's got a lot more cooked up. There's going to be some very interesting bylaws going in about people who willingly refuse to sign up for Obamacare being placed on a special debtors checklist. And again, like we alluded to a year or maybe more than that ago, debtor prisons are being built right now. Obamacare, what it's going to do is quite simple. It's going to force you to buy a product, and when you don't and your debt accrues, where do you think you're going to end up? And what do you think you're going to be doing when you're in debtor prison? You're going to be picking up the slack from all these Chinese slave labor factories that basically are about to go away. And they don't want to cut the profit pipeline. Walmart's got to survive somehow. And if you don't think that, you know, these poor schlubs that can't afford the $115 fine of Obamacare aren't going to go to a debtor prison, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, man. If anybody wants to chime in on this conversation here, feel free to call in. We're taking calls tonight. The call-in number is 718-717-8296. But yeah, back to this whole, you know, government debacle, especially with this, you know, involuntary health care that we've got now, which is basically what Obamacare is. It's not like, it's not really like what people like to call universal health care or anything like that. This is just involuntary health care. You know, you're going to have to get insurance or else. And, I mean, to think about how quickly these guys are going to come after these payments, and then think about how long it takes for these guys to help out veterans when they're sick.
Right.
Or when they have PTSD or when they come back from the wars.
Yeah.
And they're depressed or anything like that. How long does it take them to help them out? We remember back during this VA scandal, it was a lot of these guys were doing 3 months. A personal contact of mine waited like 6 months to get treatment for something pretty serious. And it just takes them so long to pay out these benefits that they take taxes on us to, you know, pay for.
Right.
But when it comes to us not paying taxes, for instance, like with Obamacare, we're going to find out quickly. I mean, you remember how they started arming up the IRS and stuff like that? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, they got IRS with like over 1,000 guns or whatever.
So they'll garnish you. And then if they don't have a way to garnish you, like say you're a guy that works under the table and you're like, fuck Obamacare, I'm not signing up. I don't even do my federal income taxes because they don't know what I got. Well, they have your address, man. And they'll come and they'll see what you, if you have a car or something. I mean, all these databases are interlinked. The NSA's got them all. And if the NSA's got them all, then all the federal agencies have them all. And they're going to be able to tie one and one and two together real easily. And it's not going to be mandatory. If you have a Social Security number on January 1st and you haven't signed up for Obamacare, your fine is already beginning. And it's going to accrue over the year. It's going to continue to get late fees. See that there's all these bylaws. So what they're doing is if you're not employed, you're in jail, basically. You're going to be in jail if you're not employed pretty soon here because they're going to find a way to get you. And you don't think the cops are going to willingly and just love taking you in for that and building all these new prisons.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing I hadn't thought about yet is how is this going to affect homeless people?
Yeah.
How is Obama going to affect homeless people? Because the people that don't qualify for free health care, you know, now that all of a sudden this is another thing that they're going to be having to be on the run for.
Right.
Because now if you're homeless and you can't afford health care, and then you go a few years, then guess what, man? There's a huge fine out on your head. You know, and if you get pulled over or checked by the cops, which if you're homeless happens pretty often, you could end up getting in, you know, some kind of trouble over this whole Obamacare thing. You know, so I mean, this is the kind of thing that literally you either got to pay it or they could possibly throw you in a cage for. So this is government gone rogue, right?
Yes.
And then, but like we were saying, when it comes time to collect, man, and when you don't pay your taxes, man, they're quick to levy your bank account. They're quick to do all that stuff to you, you know, and it's like, you know, second nature to these guys.
Right. You can't be off the books anymore. I mean, in 2017, under the Obamacare mandate, everyone's supposed to have a medical chip because their whole thing is, oh, if you get in an accident or you get knocked out, we'll scan your chip and we'll know your whole medical history, which is just ridiculous. It's an RFID chip, which means they'll track you. And you'd be surprised how many people will fall in line when they tell you, you got to get your chip. Just like you got to get Obamacare, you got to give us your guns, you got to declare your political affiliation so we know how to brainwash you better. I mean, it's a big, big, giant matrix grid already installed, and the hammer's going to come down with the, unfortunately, the protests will bring the hammer down. And it's really up to us as the American people to say when it's enough. And I don't know what it's going to take. Is it going to take tomorrow morning we wake up and our bank account's zeroed out? Would that make people mad? Or would they still go to work if that happened? Would they still think something's wrong with the system and they'd still go to work? I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up. But until enough do, we're spinning our wheels. And we just got to keep spinning until we get the traction to peel out, I guess you could say. Because that's all we're waiting for.
Well, you know, kind of like what we were just talking about with this whole tax thing. And remember, we had that caller on, what was it, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, Will Brown came on from the Common Ground Movement, and he was talking about a tax strike.
Right.
And I think that, like we were saying, I mean, they could single you out. You're one of the few people that decided to not sign up for Obamacare. Maybe there's a lot more people than we think. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are millions and millions of people that didn't sign up for Obamacare. They can't slam everybody. At first, they're just going to try to collect the fine on everybody, but if people decide not to pay. But, I mean, the idea of a tax strike sounds much more like favorable because if you can get enough people to not pay these taxes and not pay the federal taxes or whatever it is, income taxes or Obamacare taxes, any of that stuff, then it would be much harder for them to try to, you know, slam a whole segment of the society, man.
If everybody just didn't file their federal income tax just 1 year, the IRS would be unbelievably swamped, first and foremost, and it would basically cause them to collapse. The second thing would be there's got to be a law firm somewhere that's constitutionally savvy enough and has the balls to do a class action lawsuit for 300 million people against the IRS, which is a private company. and check where they put their taxes. Only 10% goes back to the U.S. Look up where the other 90% goes. I mean, the Federal Reserve gets a big chunk, and then it's split in half with a couple people in royalty or some crazy stuff. So if you had the right law firm, and it'd probably have to be a UN international kind of just crazy law firm made up of all the best lawyers in the world, you would totally bring down the IRS, because where does the money go? I want to know where that money went. If only 10% of my money goes to American interests, then I want a 90% refund on all of my tax returns for life.
Well, you know where a lot of it goes is to paying the interest.
Yeah, for the Fed.
And that's basically what keeps the monetary system afloat, you know. But, you know, you remember back when they had that case, what was it, Hobby Lobby, right?
Yeah.
Hobby Lobby had this case against Obamacare, and it was ruled that they were able to say that their money wasn't going to go into paying for contraceptives, or birth control,
right,
or abortions, whatever. I don't know which one it was, probably all of them. And the court ruled that they were able to choose to not pay for that.
Sure, because
so they were able to avoid that tax. But, you know, here's the thing. I think that that precedent could backfire on the government, because then it can bring about new lawsuits where people are saying, hey, my religion doesn't allow me to spend money on wars.
Right.
Okay. Well, then I don't want any of my tax money going to
right.
pay for any kind of war.
Right.
You know, or I don't want my money going into the CIA or the NSA. You know, this is the kind of precedent. I mean, if we were to have that kind of accountability, I think you would see parts of the government just start disappearing.
They'd dissolve.
Because people would say, I'm not going to fund the IRS.
Right.
I don't want to put no money into the IRS.
Yeah, who are
they? I'm not going to pay that budget, and they're not going to exist anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's how it should be. But no, they have these involuntary taxes where they just blanket tax everybody. And unfortunately, the taxes are very regressive too, because it takes a larger chunk of the income of people that are poor than it does the people that are rich. People that are rich do pay a lot of taxes.
Sure.
But as a percentage of their income, it's actually less.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, these taxes actually directly affect the standard of living of poor people. You know, if anything, we should abolish taxes on anybody that makes less than like 40 grand or
yeah.
even higher.
A living wage. If you're making a living wage, you should basically have what's called a living tax. No tax. Like, I can't afford it. Like, what are you doing to me, dude? I'm already contributing to society by working and paying sales tax, and you're going to hammer me on my meager income? This is just, it's got to stop somewhere, and we can start it by doing that at a state level. You know, California on January 1st is going to absorb 11 million uninsured people onto Obamacare. This is an anticipated increase of about $2,200 a person in tax. So how are they doing it? 45 cent a gallon on gas overnight on January 1st. Then they want a double property tax. We'll see if they can get landowners to agree. I couldn't see them doing it, but they're going to have to get the money somewhere.
Well, if they increase property taxes, what they'll do is build loopholes for these huge property
sure.
owners to exploit.
Exactly.
You know, that's how it works.
If it's
otherwise their money will dry up.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what you do, but you got to stop it, basically. You have to have people that really think that they can do something about it, and you can. Anytime public pressure shows up somewhere, things will change. Now, a lot of times they'll trick us, like, oh, Eric Gardner shows that all the police need cams. Actually, it shows that if police have cams, nothing happens anyway. That's what it shows. They'll try to use it so police have cams so that when their facial recognition and stuff's installed in these cams, they'll be nabbing criminals on the street by the cop just walking around. And that's all part of the money train. So you can't let these guys give you a false solution to a real problem. The real solution is, if you're a police officer and your cam somehow malfunctions, you're personally liable. And also your cam, if a crime is committed by you, is now available for public scrutiny. Otherwise, what the hell are these guys besides a private army? I mean, they're not a protecting force anymore. They're not for law and order. They're just for, what is it, preventing the destruction of corporate property? Is that about it? Or be that buildings? Because remember, taxpayers are corporate property under our system too.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've experienced it firsthand. In fact, the caller who called in on Monday night, Ali, me and him experienced it in the Fed rally where it was only like less than 10 of us, and we were out in front of a bank, Chase Bank or something. And we were just exercising our freedom of speech, and a few people were drawing chalk, like basically drawing memes on the sidewalk with chalk, which is within freedom of speech. You remember there was that viral case of that guy that got arrested in front of Bank of America chalking in San Diego,
right.
And then he went to court, and then it set the precedent where they said, no, you can't be arrested for this, you know.
Anyways, that to the graffiti artist that just got run over.
I know, man. That's another horrible, crazy police brutality case.
How is he not in jail for first-degree murder when you run somebody over? I mean, and then when you chokehold somebody, how is that not first-degree murder? I mean, what is it going to take? Does blue privilege give you ultimate authority? You're now Judge Dredd? Is this the world? We're going to allow high school graduates to be Judge Dredd? We're not even going to require a degree? I mean, what kind of world are we in, dude? Are we the dumb led by the crazy? Because that's what it seems to me.
We have a caller now in from 818. I think it's Manny. How's it going, Manny?
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Well, you know, Manny? Hey, DB, what's up, man? How you doing?
Pretty good.
You know? And I'm sure you guys were saying, wow, when's that beaner going to call?
We want to know what's going on in L.A., dude.
Well, dude, a lot of things are happening. One thing very sentimental, and I want to say it on your show because it has a lot of meaning. You know, I don't promote, you know, show business, but in this one, there's going to be a play on the 43 from people. There's a group that's bringing the show to Frida Kahlo in Los Angeles Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this weekend and next weekend. So they're doing 6 shows on the 43 students. I mean, that's going to be super emotional for me. I know, and stuff like that. Also, a big protest going on, you know, everywhere, you know, on Friday, because I don't know if you guys are, I mean, I left the church a long time ago. I report to the GOD directly, so I'm anti-religious, you know. But the bottom line is this. It's even the president will not speak on Friday. Even if he wanted to, he better not speak on Friday because it's almost like it's not a good thing because it's Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know, December the 12th. So that's one day even the president doesn't dare to speak, you know, stuff like that. And so they're going to take advantage of doing the protest, you know, basically in memory. Because, you know, we have a lot of Catholics in Mexico, but the trend has changed. We have now a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff like that. So the Catholic has gone down completely. We even have over a million Mormons and stuff like that. So, yeah, so I've been looking into the virus and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, it looks kind of shaky out the record, seriously. You know, it really does. You know, some people that I know, they're kind of like, okay, you know, stuff like that, you know. I'm still waiting to see what the big deal with PM Beers was, you know, because she got interviewed and stuff like that. So I'm kind of waiting on that, stuff like that. I also want to ask a question, either DB or Nick, if you guys have heard. I heard that, you know, and I hope it wasn't a rumor, you know, because, I mean, it's like, come on, dude, if it's valid, they said that supposedly the president has made it a federal holiday the day after Christmas, which will be December the 26th. And if he's got that type of power, I'm kind of really not happy about it because we've been fighting to make Cesar Chavez a national holiday, just like Dr. Martin Luther King became a federal holiday, you know. And unfortunately, it's only a state holiday in certain states and stuff like that. But I wanted to make it at the federal level and all that, you know. So that's what's happening in L.A. You know, a lot of these things that are really getting, you know, to the max and stuff like that. On the banking system, you know, I can understand why people are mad. I mean, it's just ridiculous how they've been robbing us and stuff like that, you know. I just hope, though, and one of the things that you guys have been speaking about, the Obamacare, I just hope that a lot of people don't think, oh, my God, because, you know, you just mentioned something about California picking up all these people that are uninsured. And, of course, people are going to try to take advantage of it and say, oh, my God, it's all these people, you know, illegal aliens, you know. And, you know, they're going to talk about people from other countries that are coming here illegally. You know, can you hear me say undocumented immigrants, illegal aliens? Come on, dude. You know, we didn't come from space, you know. And who in the hell is illegal? Nobody's really illegal if you really think about it, you know what I mean? So I came here as an undocumented worker. But to make my point, I always tell people, the border, I didn't cross the border crossed me, you know, stuff like that. So that's why I want people to be more, you're talking about Obamacare, and that's why I said people have been distracted with the Ferguson thing, the police thing. We need to be stepping it up. We need to focus on the foreclosures. We got to focus, the homeless people. I'm just kind of devastated how we're not domestic violence is a big problem. The rape in colleges is a big problem. We need to start addressing all those things and stuff like that and take our government that seriously, you know. But answer that question for me. Is that a rumor or is that a fact on December 26th, a federal holiday?
I think I heard that too, man. It was for some trade or something.
Right.
But yeah, he's making it a holiday. I don't know too much about it, but you're right. I mean, there's so many other days that deserve to be
right. Kind
of, what do they call it, canonized or whatever, and, put into the records. But these guys kind of just pick and choose and do their thing. I mean, there was someone saying that, someone was telling me that they think that the voting day should be a holiday, you know,
yeah.
So people don't have to work that day or whatever. So that they could actually go to the
if
polls.
If it meant anything.
Yeah. No, I'm not a huge advocate of that system or anything. But still, it is pretty big to just be able to do that. And
Cesar Chavez will be a holiday. I promise you. When Marco Rubio is our next president, he's going to push that through. That's not a question to me. And we'll have anybody. I mean, anybody who's for the rights of the people should be celebrated, and we should demand that. I mean, that's a workers' rights icon right there. You don't really have food on your plate without that guy making it okay for people to come do the work. And unfortunately, you know, they're not going to pay you $18 an hour to pull, you know, produce out of the ground. They should. They should pay those dudes $18 an hour because that shit is hard. And I wouldn't mind paying 30 cents more for a crown of broccoli. But until that day happens, yeah, you gotta support Cesar Chavez. You can put anyone. I mean, at some point, Malcolm X may come back into the forefront because stuff's not working peacefully, and we may have to do a sit-in or something like that, and that guy might get his own day. There's tons of icons that need their own day.
And thank you for mentioning that, because coming here, and of course, I didn't have papers. I was working in the field. I mean, I cannot believe that a lot of people said, man, you were sick for a couple of years but still working. Yeah, because these planes, people don't understand. They were throwing pesticides, and they didn't work for the people that leave the field. They just do it, you know. I mean, bottom line, you know, and you have no choice because you were already there, you know, and stuff like that, you know. But one of the things that's happening, though, the leadership is becoming a lot of women. We're having some women problems, women power, excuse me. And I like to see the women here in the United States do the same thing as what Nick was saying about those women. They're taking arms. You know what? Women are just kicking ass now, seriously, and I love that. Because one of the things I love to see this country do again is take a stand like Rosa Parks. You know, people don't talk about her a lot, but man, damn it, I ain't moving from this seat because you know what? That's not a good reason for me to move, you know, to give up a seat for a white person and stuff like that, you know. And it's just, she took a stand, you know. And I love people to take a stand for the right reason, not for the wrong reason, some Mickey Mouse thing. I mean, that was completely 100%. And I want people to start talking about, Cesar Chavez, you know, I mean, come on. You know, the migrant workers, I mean, we were just, all we wanted, you know, the real story, you know, because I don't know what you guys heard, the real story that the fight was about in the field was we just wanted basically to have a bathroom and water. I mean, the migrant stuff, it wasn't even about money. It was about dignity out there, you know, going to a portable restroom instead of in the field and having drinking water instead of having to go to some canal down there in Calexico or El Centro, California, the American Canal. You know, that's what the real story is all about, stuff like that. And when you've been there, like I have, oh my God, that's why I feel blessed, and that's why I'm an activist, because I mean, I know how it is to be on the other side of the border. And you know, and people that talk about, well, immigration this, until you've been on both sides of the border, you really don't know the whole story. Because people say, well, many for a guy that knows about immigration a lot, you never read a book. And one thing my friend said, don't worry about Manny no reading no books. He is the book. That's why he knows a lot about.
People just need to have exposure, Manny. Like, I've been blessed to live on the border, so I've been down there. I know what the culture is about down there. I mean, if you gave the work ethic of the people down there the resources of up here, I mean, we would be off of this planet already. So I'm not in agreement of NAFTA, but I understand that at some point
because we share a border and we have so much in common, really. We really have so much in common. We could become some kind of huge superpower, but it would be a moral superpower, ethical superpower like we were prior to 1939.
Wow, you know what? You're right about that. Good point, good point.
Yeah, man, you know, there's so much going on there. Like you were saying, Manny, about all these other causes, man, and then we also got this the Palestinian struggle, and it's really symbolic to what the larger struggle is about, because what a lot of us were saying is that, like, the tactics that are used in Palestine is just like a training ground for tactics to be used on a broader scale, right? We were saying this months ago, right? When this Israeli Operation Protective Edge was going on. This is before Ferguson started, and we were saying that.
Yeah.
So we came to find out that a lot of these cops were being trained
by the IDF.
Yes, by the Israeli forces. So a lot of the tactics that they have been using in Palestine are now being used here in the U.S. Exactly. And then the other thing that was really disturbing that I saw today, and I think we're going to have a story up on it tomorrow on the anti-media, there's a training package going out from the Police One website about how to use the media and win over the media whenever you kill somebody.
Right.
Like, there was literally a training course going around for these cops so that they can take this course, and then in the chance that they do kill somebody, how to manipulate the media.
And it works.
Favor.
It works because, I mean,
they got it down to a science. And in fact, it was like a basically attached to a study that they used Ferguson for all the statistics, and they made it. They've already done a study on Ferguson.
I mean, listen to this. How bad of a guy did Mike Brown have to be to get shot twice in the head? I mean, that's what I don't understand. If the guy was a thug and you shot him four times already and he's sitting on the ground bleeding and you walk up and cap him twice in the head, because what? Because why? So he doesn't talk. So there's no case. Yeah. And there's no video.
That blows me away, too, okay? Even, let's say, for instance, he was a criminal. You shoot him down. I mean, you've got to provide, I don't care if he's a criminal, you still got to provide first aid of some type, dude, and just to stand there and let him, you know. And I kind of get suspicious about, all of a sudden, I'm starting to hear that a lot of these witnesses are ended up dead, too.
It's like,
something, you know, something tells me. But one of the things I want to mention on your show, which hardly has ever mentioned, is that all lives matter, and obviously we're concentrating on black, and then hopefully on brown and you know, white. I think all lives matter, stuff like that. But one of the things that I like to see us talk about more is that we don't understand what our transgender brothers and sisters go through when they get arrested by the cops and stuff like that, the way the jail system is for them and stuff like that. I mean, being transgender is really tough and stuff like that. And I hope, Nick and DB, I'm sure you're probably aware of that at some point, you know, stuff like that.
I've never been to jail, but I can imagine it'd be really tough if you were kind of in that middle spot, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge issue, actually, that is largely ignored by a lot of people. But yeah, we should have some guests on to talk about it. I mean, I can't really speak about it because I don't know that much. I do have some transgender friends, and I'm sure they'd be willing to come on the radio show and talk about
it. Interesting.
You know, that'd definitely be a good topic to have.
Well, have them call in. I mean, can we get somebody to nail it through to some people that you don't get a choice in your body? You know what I mean? That's as simple as it is. You can't choose what body you're born in, and if there's an option to kind of get closer to what you feel like and you're not hurting anybody else, cool. Just leave them alone.
Well, Nick knows Erica. Nick, you know Erica?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a wheelchair. You know, stuff like that. So Erica would be great and stuff like that. You know, stuff like that. So
I
appreciate Nick and BB, how open-minded, you know, and, you know, to bring awareness and stuff like that to every community, because I think everybody deserves the respect. I mean, come on, there's some good people out there. I mean, there's bad people, you know, everywhere in every community. But man, there's some good people. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. And I mean, and we have to fight for the underdog, and I'm sure that's what the anti-media is all about, and that's what Manny Aguilar is all about, you know?
The only prejudice you should ever have is against people who are willingly unintelligent. That's it. If they decide to be stupid and decide to keep doing stupid stuff, then you can, you know, then you can be against it.
So we got this this news about Israel, and basically they've gotten observer status at the ICC, which stands for the International Criminal Court, and it's basically where they charge countries with crimes against humanity and things like that. But this is a kind of a positive step for Palestinians, because now having observer status is like the first step in becoming a member of this. I don't know. I guess you call it a tribunal.
Are they recognized as a nation now officially?
They're starting to become that. This is the thing. Here's the other part of it. They're starting. We heard that Sweden is now recognizing it as a country. And then the UK is very close to doing it. And France, I think, was the latest country to do it.
Wow.
So what's happening is there's a major shift going on, especially after this last barrage of you know, killings. They killed like over 2,000 people, and many of
many which children. Were civilian. Yeah, jeez, like 20, so many children.
Something like 25% children. And right. It was just horrible statistics. Anyways, sooner or later, you know, it's getting there, man. I mean, in the next year or two, it looks like more and more countries are going to recognize Palestine. And there may be a chance to try to bring a little bit of quietness to that area and, like, bring a little bit of justice. But at the same time, we can't forget about ISIS knocking on the back door and all that stuff that's going on over there.
Right.
Now, I've definitely – my views have shifted as far as when it comes to what exactly the U.S. is doing in Syria. Now I don't think – at this point, they don't have to take Assad out. All they got to do is split the country in half.
Right.
Because if they're going to build – because the whole reason they're doing this – everything in Syria is to build this pipeline with this whole geopolitical match with Russia
to try to cut Russia out.
But what they're going to do is they're just going to use ISIS as an excuse to cut the country in half.
Well, not to interject into that theory, but – since Turkey and Russia signed their gas pipeline deal, there's no reason to be in Ukraine anymore because it's a done deal already. Russia's already going to get their pipeline through anyway. And that's why it's sheer insanity. It's literally just trying to get Putin to fight you. That's all they're doing now, because Turkey literally has shifted sides. They've said, NATO, I don't think you're going to work for us anymore. I think we're going to go over to Russia. I mean, Russia's on our border. Russia could invade us and take us out any time. We're going to go with Russia. Now, what did that do? It opened up the Black Sea. And so the geopolitical game now is over. Most people still think it's going, but it's over. The only thing going right now is there's certain insane individuals that want World War III because they think that's going to fix the U.S. economy and prevent the collapse of the dollar. And that's just it's insanity. Let's get to the next economic system. If my bank account takes a hit so that I don't fight World War III, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. One of the comments I want to make, too, that, I mean, completely blew me out of the water yesterday. I'm hearing this spokesperson, I can't remember her name, for down there in Washington.
Jen Psaki.
She says, she says, we've already talked to our counterparts in Mexico. They said they're investigating at Guerrero. Dude, I'm thinking to myself, are you serious? The people that probably did it are the ones that are telling you, yeah, we're investigating. Why don't you go over there and find out if they're really investigating? I mean, come on, you know?
And there's never going to be a real watchdog organization allowed, right, until we actually take our government back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, she also she was also caught slipping. That same spokeswoman you're talking about, when she was talking about what was going on in Egypt, how Mubarak is getting off,
right?
How he's not going to be charged with all those crimes after killing all those people. We're talking about the former dictator of Egypt, She gave this bogus story, you know, this bogus talking point about what was going on over there. And the journalists just started questioning her, and like she kept on sidestepping the question. Then when the whole press conference was over, mm-hmm. she was caught on a hot mic saying that Egypt one was ridiculous.
Right.
You know, just basically saying like that fucking talking point they gave me was complete crap.
Mubarak can't.
And I had to just keep, you know, repeating it and keep on sidestepping it. I mean,
he can't be. I mean, the reason he's not being punished is because then it's going to all come out about how he was complicit with us and the current military junta still being funded by us. So it's quite that simple. They're just not going to roll their main man under the bus. Yeah. I don't know what separated him from Gaddafi and from Saddam. What did he do that didn't get him killed?
Well, he allowed us to basically run through Egypt and overthrow. We want. I mean, right. they allowed us to run torture operations. They allowed us to have prisons. They allowed the CIA in. We built their military, and their economy is like 40% owned by their military. So we basically own their economy too. And that guy just let us go in and do it. He allowed the corporations, you know, to take over full everything, access. More or less.
Yep.
And like you were saying, considering that the Egyptian government or the Egyptian military, which is the Egyptian government at this time, it's hand-built by the U.S. government. And since they're in the pocket and then Mubarak was in the pocket, they're going to let Mubarak slide.
And he got
and then he's going to get some kind of, you know, he's going to get some kind of clemency in some country.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably be low key in the UK or something like that. And that's going to be it. Yeah. He's just going to be rich for the rest of his life, even though he's committed and murdered thousands of people.
Maybe millions. I mean, we'll never know because we don't even know the official body count from that so-called Arab Spring that happened. A lot of people say that might have been a couple hundred thousand people. So over his whole reign, he might be in that million or 2 million mark zone of people that are off this planet now because of that guy. And it's just, we can't allow this confession of an economic hitman system to continue because what's it doing? Turning the whole world. The whole world hates us. They don't hate the people, but they hate who runs us. And how can that not lead to a backlash of innocents dying eventually here? Because at some point, our security apparatus is going to have a hole in it. We're not God. We can't see everything. Even with a million drones in the sky, somebody could get through.
Yeah, man. I mean, it basically erodes all of our moral authority. And I heard some pundits this morning talking about how the U.S. has moral authority, and that's why the CIA thing is okay, and the fact that they're torturing folks and all that stuff. They're trying to, you know, say it was okay because the U.S. has moral authority and stuff. It's like, dude, what are you talking about?
Right.
We support dictators. We overthrow governments with military coups.
Right.
In South America, in Europe, in the Middle East. I mean, and if we can't overthrow it in a coup, then we just invade them like we did with Iraq or like we did with kind of what we did with Libya. We didn't technically invade them. We just invaded them with drones. We took out their we put it in a no-fly zone,
right,
which basically meant that none of their planes could take off from the ground because they'd get blown up.
Right.
And then we flew the drones in. Yeah, we invaded them. No troops on the ground.
No troops.
And Obama was able to, you know, ride that whole no troops on the ground thing, and nobody batted an eye when we went and overthrew the Libyan government. And what has Libya become? It's become a failed state. It's become a failed state.
So when Latin America got pissed off at us, I mean, the United States just completely went out wacko. It's when they brought General Noriega to Florida. Instead of taking him to the world court, the Latin American country says, how are you there? Do you go down there? Because he doesn't want to play ball no more. Now you're going to arrest him, not only bring him to the world court, but you're going to bring him to Florida to be tried. So Latin America said to the United States, how would you like for us to go grab one of your presidents and try him down here in Colombia? You know, stuff like that. And so they're kind of really mad and stuff like that. But I heard, and of course I won't mention my reporter contact, you know, but she and he, because there's a team, has said that you guys have, how do you pronounce it, drones already? Border Patrol's got drones out there by the border, you know, doing the backcountry and stuff like that. But then she also told me that she found out that you can have one for $5,000. So I'm thinking to myself, hell, BD and Nick can have one and be spying on the government themselves with their own drone.
I'm happy to announce I actually have my own drone, and it's quite handy, I will say.
And how much did it cost you?
It was a couple hundred bucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're cheap. You can get them for under $500 for a good one with a camera in it.
Yeah.
Wow,
that cheap, really?
Yeah, wow. Man. Yep. it's the boom. It's from the all the innovation taking place. Unfortunately, because of the wars, we talked about that a few shows ago about how like there's all these advancements during wartime, and the big advancement that's gone on in this latest one post 9/11 has been NSA surveillance and drone technology, right?
Yep.
And so that's also what's so scary, and we talk about this all the time, but it's so true. And we see prominent figures coming out now and saying, like even Stephen Hawking is saying, hey, AI could be the end of us.
Right.
And then you got the guy from Tesla cars. What's his name? I forget his name.
Yeah.
The guy that – the CEO of the Tesla – whatever. He has
Musk,
a
– Yeah, whatever.
The guy from Tesla cars is saying the same thing, man. And just like with Libya, how Obama was able to go in and say, okay, no troops on the ground. We're just going to overthrow them with drones. You know, and we got rebel troops on the ground, which were, you know, we had CIA in there. Yeah, we had troops on the ground. Sure. We had CIA in there.
A couple hundred.
And then we had, you know, these, let's call them organic forces that were fed a lie, basically. It's like, hey, dude, you're fighting a revolution. You're fighting the good fight. Oh, yeah. Oops. We're installing our own central banking system.
Well, what is ISIS?
So, this is the total conundrum, and they try to say that we have this moral authority. No, we don't. We don't have any moral authority. We don't have business being in any country at all. We should not have military bases in any other country because we do not have the moral authority to do it. Because we've shown our ability to abuse our rights, our privilege, really, as the world superpower. At least what was once the single superpower. Ever since the fall of the USSR, up until just maybe about just this year. Right. Because if you look at the economic numbers, China officially just surpassed the U.S. in two major, purchasing power, yeah. and then they just surpassed us in GDP as well.
Right.
They surpassed us by 0.2 trillion.
Right.
So, you know, we were once a superpower, and we've shown what all of the abuses that we can do. So at this point in time, we shouldn't be in any country. Look at the CIA crap that just broke the other day. I mean, it's not even breaking news. We knew this stuff was happening. It's just official now because Feinstein did a report on it.
We've all
known the CIA has been up to no good for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the same phenomenon that happened when Snowden broke all those leaks about the NSA. We all knew the NSA. Like everyone, like kind of in a half jokingly was like, oh yeah, they're looking at you through your camera on your phone or through your laptop. And before the whole Snowden thing, we said it like knowing it was real, but we said it in like a joking way.
Right.
But after the Snowden revelations, like yeah, they actually could be looking through
your
camera.
And there is an eagle eye. I mean, the NSA is attached to it, an AI called the machine. I mean, let's not be like in a world where science fiction doesn't exist. It's science fact. If you watch a movie and you're like, damn, that couldn't happen, it's there, man. This is preconditioning so that when they unroll it, you're not like, running with like a chicken with its head cut off. This is all it is. I know it blends into this unbelievable kind of weird world we're living in where there's going to be leaps and bounds of tech soon. And they're going to try to have this world war happen so that they can't share all this magical stuff they developed with all of us. Because then their control is over. And then, God forbid, humanity would flourish into the amazing thing we could become.
Well, yeah, man, I definitely agree with you. The only reason that this oligarchy exists is because of monopolies, right? And monopolies on power, monopolies on
spirituality,
monopolies on patents,
yeah,
monopolies on property, you know, monopolies on all kinds of things is what really holds the whole civilization back. And the thing about, you know, the current system is that if they don't hold back all these technologies, like you said,
right,
all these awesome, like, decentralized technologies where, you know, you can produce – I'm sure the government has already developed, like, generators that are like, tiny and that are, like, very, very efficient that you could run and actually run at a better than current costs operating.
Easily, yeah.
But they have to keep a lid on all this stuff, otherwise they lose their control factor.
Right.
And their control factor is keeping everybody slightly broke, keeping everybody spinning their wheels, keeping everybody scared. And, you know, I know it's like a scary thing that we talk about the CIA and how they're torturing people and stuff, and who's to think that they haven't used it on Americans already?
Right.
They probably already used it on American citizens overseas, if not here at home. I mean, I wouldn't put it out of the realm. The only thing that we know about the CIA is out of this little tiny report, and all it was like, what, 6,000 pages of CIA reports? I mean, this is a tiny fraction of the stuff that they do that we know about. Think about if anyone actually blew the whistle on their media control. And the stuff the CIA actually still does currently what with if, the media, I mean, it would be just paradigm undermining stuff.
What if a report about Project Mockingbird came out right now? Oops, we never stopped it in the 60s. We've actually developed to the point where we can control your mind through freaking, who knows, cell phone towers. We don't know where they're at. They're not going to share it with us. If they did, we would hang them by the rafters because they're evil. And they haven't been using it to heal the world. The sword to plowshares time needs to happen now, or there's not going to be a world pretty soon. That's what I think. I think even generals and armies right now understand we can't have World War III. Everyone's going to die. We can't do it. We got to somehow get over this stupid baser animal instinct to fight. There's no need to fight. We're post-scarcity. Everybody in the world could have the American lifestyle if we shared the tech. But oh no, we can't have people have a good life. They have to be under our bootstrap all for their entire existence. That philosophy has already been shown to be self-destructive, and it's just got to end, man. We've got to put so much pressure on the people on the top that are pretty much crazy that they just can't be comfortable anywhere in the world if they do these evil crimes against humanity.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things that has been brought up right now about the CIA thing. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I absolutely hate Dianne Feinstein. I despise Dianne Feinstein. She is absolutely horrible. But at the same time, this thing that she's done here with the CIA report, now we already all knew about this stuff, but what it does is what Snowden's leak did. It mainstream,
right.
it turns it into mainstream mm-hmm. knowledge. Now, we were all reporting on this stuff at the anti-media and all these alternative independent media outlets. We're talking about how the CIA has been doing these horrible things for a long time. But now that Dianne Feinstein releases this report, now it's okay, now it's mainstream fact. Now everybody's going to look at it. It's the same effect that the Eric Garner video had on police brutality, and it's the same effect that the Snowden leaks had on the NSA. So that's what it does, is it actually brings this stuff into the mainstream. Now, here's where I want to take this, though, when it comes to this whole CIA thing. And we can all sit here and say, oh, yeah, that sucks and all that. But what about if we actually step it up a notch and say, hey, everybody implicated in this report is going to get their hands put on them. We're going to arrest all these fools, and we're going to take all of them to trial.
Just to start.
And it's just like how George Bush is wanted for war crimes in certain countries overseas, Latin America, and he can't go to those countries. Because if he went and landed a plane in that territory and got off the plane, that country would arrest them and charge them with war crimes.
Exactly.
What we need to do, and I remember when I first learned about Derek Brose and the Houston Freethinkers a couple years back, was when I saw a video about them trying to arrest citizens arrest on Henry Kissinger. This is what we got to do, man. We got to actually get these guys that are the perpetrators, George Bush, Dick Cheney, all these guys, and we got to hunt these guys down in the streets, arrest them, and charge these guys.
But there's got to be a critical mass for the people in our military who are on our side, because I promise you it's more than half. They will back us up, but we've got to get it going. They're not going to
come out. We got to reach critical mass where the military can't defect.
They can't
come out. Like you said, possibly half of them want to defect, but they can't. They can't because they're held in line.
Right, and they don't want to fight their own brothers. What they want to have is happen is this. If every city...
You're right, dude.
Every city had a million-man march. The military will back us up. It's been proven throughout human history. The military follows the will of the people because they are the people.
Yeah. And one more comment about the CIA. I don't know of a country that hates the CIA more than Guatemala. Don't even talk about the CIA down there because, oh, my God, forget it, you know. But I also want to mention there's going to be something from 5 to 10 in Chicano Park down your way, 43 artists doing the 43 students, stuff like that. And then you're having a big police brutality thing going on at 10:30 in the morning at Balboa Park on Saturday also. You know, so just wanted to mention that.
To see people out there and, you know, the SDPD's pretty bad, but they're not too bad. I mean, but we don't want L.A. to pervade down here into the minds of the cops, think they're like invincible and above the law, because then they're going to try to do abuses too. And, you know, it's telling that there's really no way for these good cops to come out because they're outnumbered, dude. They're outnumbered and they know they can't come out. So, it's like, again, it's going to come to the people. Are the people going to back up the good cops? Are the people going to back up the good soldiers so we can clean house? Or are we just going to sit here and let them, you know, give it to us up the rear end?
Well, check this out, man. Like, back to what we were talking about reaching a critical mass. This week, we've taken a few steps forward. I don't know if you noted or if you saw, but LeBron James came out and was wearing an I Can't Breathe shirt. And you know who I just saw was wearing them? Almost the whole Lakers team, including Kobe.
Yep.
So all these players are stepping forward. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm like, you know, on one end, I'm like, you know, NBA is a huge distraction. It's just a huge gladiator type, you know, distraction for the modern day Roman Empire and stuff, which is the U.S. But at the same time, just like in that movie Gladiator, how that guy was able to use his following, his celebrity, his stardom, to do something big, to do something different. This is kind of that same idea. These guys are able to use the fact that they're these big celebrity NBA players, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and they're able to wear this "I Can't Breathe" shirt in a silent protest. And it brings the debate up to the mainstream.
The Rams too.
And it makes the Rams did the hands up, don't shoot. And it really brings this stuff into the mainstream, and it helps us reach this critical mass that we're looking for.
Right.
You know, and so we know that we have people within the NBA, we have people within the NFL that are willing to that are actually on our side.
Mm-hmm.
These guys came from they have their roots just like we do. You know, and just like a lot of people that are within the cops, when I was at that protest, I remember I was holding up a peace sign, and one of these cops, man, I saw the look on his face, and he threw up a peace sign back to me, and he knew that he was going to get shit talked to him for it, but he still did it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys in there that are actually on our side.
Right.
There's guys within the corporate media. I know me and Manny talked about this a while back when we talked on the phone. We're not going to mention any names or anything. And then in my personal experience, I've had guys in the local corporate media outlets come up to approach me and say, "Hey, dude, like I'm on your side, man." And you know, it's just, you know, I can't really say anything right now or anything like that.
Not yet.
But like we were saying, it's all part of this critical mass process.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can reach that point through sustained protests, through sustained media, through sustained spreading of information, decentralization of information and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to see more and more of this stuff happen. We're going to see more cops blow the whistle, talk about corruption,
mm-hmm.
talk about ticket quotas and racial profiling and all that stuff. So this stuff's going to come up more and more the more we reach up to this next level. And it's pretty cool to be, you know, present and actually involved in the process because we're seeing it as it goes. We've been talking about police brutality for how long?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been railing against this stuff for years, right? And to see it finally come to the really, you know, to the beachhead now, it's actually kind of optimistic. Even though these stories are horrible about all these people dying, getting killed by the cops, little kids being tasered, people with mental illness getting targeted, minorities getting targeted. As awful as that is, in a way, I'm kind of optimistic because now it's finally becoming so mainstream that it's just not going to be acceptable anymore. And it's just like how being against gay people has become such a stigmatized thing. You can't do that anymore, and rightfully so. And that is the way that police killing people is becoming.
Right.
I saw a story that was out of the Bay Area earlier today about how this was on filmingcops.com about how the cops up in the Bay Area are having trouble recruiting. They can't recruit anybody because of the fact that social media is really holding all these guys accountable and showing them for what they are. They're starting to have problems even getting people to work for them.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, all this protesting and stuff, people say, "Oh yeah, it's not doing anything." No, it's doing a lot.
Right.
At the very least, cops are going to think twice before they shoot somebody because now it's become mainstream to not stand for police brutality. That's mainstream now. That's cool now. So if a cop does that now, there's going to be such a huge outroar that they are going to think twice, three times, even four times about shooting anybody.
I just want to, you know, kind of end the show on just a note, and then I'll let kind of Manny take it out if he wants. We're getting close to that 10% mark that had to be hit for the American Revolution.
Yeah, man, we're getting there. Thanks, Maddie, for calling in. Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch us Monday through Friday now, same time. Bookmark it. Come back to us. Listen on your phone. Just go to the website either way.
Adios, Nick. Adios, baby.
Adios.
Catch you tomorrow.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.